Welcome to the Fighter Pilot Professor Podcast. I'm your host, Meta. And in the Fighter Pilot Professor Podcast, every week we examine world events and your daily life through the mind of a fighter pilot. The episodes answer your questions, harnessing my experience in 25 years of flying fighter jets and my PhD in history, policy, and strategy. You can tune in every week wherever you find your favorite podcast. You can follow me on Instagram and on YouTube, the Fighter Pilot Professor. Hope you enjoy. All right, welcome to the Fighter Pilot Professor, episode 24. I'm your host, Meta, as always. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about an underreported story, I think, which is Russian troops sharing a base with American troops. We'll also update a little bit what happened between Israel and Iran. And then finally, we'll talk about, do I really have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make my day go? Hope you enjoy. We'll dive right in. So just a quick update on the Israel-Iran situation. As you probably know, if you're watching the news, or unless you're not hiding under a rock somewhere, the Iranians responded, as I thought they might, to the Israeli attack on the building adjacent to their embassy. And they responded pretty strongly, in my opinion, with more than 300 cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, one-way attack drones, etc. Most of them originating in the country of Iran itself and targeting directly into Israel, which has seemed like it would be a huge escalation. A few days later, the Israelis responded with an attack of their own. This is interesting because, first of all, it demonstrated the Iranians' willingness to escalate in this particular situation and attack directly into Israel from Iran. Additionally, it showed the effectiveness of the Israeli air defense system, largely the Iron Dome, which is their missile defense system. Also, it showed the U.S., Israeli, and other allies' capabilities in intercepting cruise missiles and one-way attack drones with aircraft. So there was a lot of those shot down by American and other allies as well. And then finally, it showed the willingness or the capability of the Israelis to respond in a way that the Iranians couldn't prevent. So the Israelis targeted... allegedly, they had targeted a radar outpost in the center of Iran and destroyed it. So sort of a strong juxtaposition to the success or lack thereof of the Iranian attacks. So now we've gone back to the quiet period, or as the Israelis sometimes say, the time between the wars. Sort of a wait and see. My prediction is we'll go back to the pattern that we've had before, which is a sort of low-level, under-the-table proxy conflict between Iran and Israel. So there you go. We'll wait and see what happens. But at least right now, everybody seems to be satisfied with their responses to the various events, and it's quiet. So an under-reported story, in my opinion, is Russian troops moving into the same base as American troops in the African nation of Niger, which is a big deal, and it means a lot of things. So to start off with, the nation of Niger experienced a military coup last year, and in the recent months, the military government asked the United States to remove its forces from the nation of Niger. At the same time, Russian troops moved in to various bases in Niger. And now, in the recent days, American troops and Russian troops are actually sharing property, although different spaces, on the same base. And this is a big deal because, as you know, the Russians and the United States don't necessarily get along, particularly over Ukraine and other things. But it's a big deal because this interrupts U.S. Counterterrorism operations in the Sahel, which, as you can see on this map, is a sort of central northern stretch of nations sub-Saharan nations in Africa. And this is a, we'll call it a haven, for lack of a better way to put it, for various terrorist organizations and wannabe terrorist organizations and ex-national groups and that kind of stuff. This ties in my opinion, to Russia's desire to present itself as a non-colonial force in the world, especially in Africa. So as you might imagine, the African nations have a large and very dark history with European nations that colonized them. And the Russians can present themselves as, hey, we never did this to you, and so we can come in here and help you provide security. We don't have the same sort of rule sets and expectations that the United States does for democratic governance. And so the Russians can play themselves to, you know, governments like this military government in Niger now, to like, hey, you guys can do whatever you want. We'll be here to support you in ways that will uphold your government in however you want that to look. And also, we're not a colonial power. So it seems attractive, I think, to some of these nations to get sort of this no strings attached. But it's also, in my opinion, part of Russia's larger effort to attempt to displace the United States and other European nations, particularly in Africa. We saw them do it in Syria, for example, and they're attempting to do it in other parts of the Middle East. Again, continuing to try to expand their influence. We see a similar, although slightly different approach by the Chinese in Africa as well. So what does this all mean? Largely, you know, it means that Africa is going to continue to be this low-level, I'll call it political, pseudo-military, pseudo-economic competition between the major and minor powers, so European powers, Russia, China, the United States, to influence Africa. The reasons all of these nations are pursuing influence in Africa is complex, but it involves economics, the terrorism, and traditional ties between African nations and, say, France, for example, and through post-colonialism. And so there's this complex web of relationships economically, culturally, etc. There's a complex web of terrorism and anti-terrorism movements in the area. And then obviously there's a complex web of conflict, starvation, etc. in this part of Africa that makes populations vulnerable. And so there's a strong dynamic there, and it's ripe for exploitation if nations care to do so, like the Russians are probably up to. It also, from the United States' perspective, is ripe for breeding of terrorism. So the U.S. and other Western nations want to intervene and support democratic governments to the max extent possible. So we'll see what develops. It should be interesting over the next couple of weeks, and maybe we'll get an update soon. Hope you learned a little bit about what's going on in sub-Saharan Africa. Keep shooting me your questions. All right. So in the past, in this podcast, we've talked a little bit about scheduling your day and how, you know, sort of boring as it may seem, it's important. And one of the things that a lot of people who are, you know, fans of discipline in your day and that kind of stuff advocate waking up early. And, you know, I don't want to dog on people like Jocko Willink. Don't get me wrong here, right? Like, Jocko is famous for posting on his podcast and social medias and that kind of stuff of him up and working out at 4 o'clock in the morning, which is great, right? Shows a lot of discipline. But I think a lot of people, it's not necessarily practical for them to do that, right? Because if you're going to go and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and do all these things, that means you're going to need to go to bed early, right? And sometimes your schedule just doesn't support that, right? So what I would say is you can still discipline yourself, although you don't have to wake up quite so early in the morning necessarily, right? And what do I mean by all that? So, you know, I'm a big fan of waking up at the same time every day. I happen to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. My alarm goes off at exactly at 6 o'clock every day. There's a lot of, we'll say, for a long time in my life, I got up when the clock said 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to go fly airplanes and do a lot of things. And nowadays I don't necessarily have to do that anymore. So 6 o'clock is a good time for me to balance getting up and getting my day started with being able to go to bed at an hour that is, allows me to do things like support my kids in sports or, you know, go on dates with my wife or hang out with my friends or something like that, right? So there's, I'm striking a balance between disciplining my day early in the morning and still yet getting enough rest in the evening. So what does that mean? Is that means I have to set aside time in the middle part of my day to do other things like we talked about in previous episodes, right? Get outside, get sunshine, get exercise, and all those kind of things, right? So what all that means is you don't necessarily have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get yourself going, although it is a lot easier to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get yourself going, especially if you want to get a workout in without any distractions, for example. So that is a great time to get up and get moving without any distractions in the morning, right? But not everybody's schedule will support that. And arguably, if you're going to get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, you got to go to bed at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And again, your schedule may not support that. So the bottom line is you can still discipline your schedule. You can still make it appropriate for what you do. But also you have to keep in mind that, hey, you need rest. You know, you have a social life. You want to do those kind of things, right? So just balance your schedule accordingly, right? Make sure that it fits what your lifestyle actually is. But what I'd say is the important part is, like we've talked about before, is, hey, you still have to sort of set aside time for those things, right? So make a calendar reminder for going to work out, right? Bring your gym bag to you, with you to work, to school, to whatever, right? So you will go, so you don't have an excuse for not going to the gym, or at the very least getting out and, you know, going for a run or something like that, right? So there's a million things that you can do to help you sort of discipline yourself in the middle of the day, although it is definitely easier to get up. I'm not sure that I'm down at 4 o'clock in the morning, but, you know, you do you. Thanks for the question. Have a good one. Up another episode of the Fighter Pilot Professor. We'll continue inserting these little updates from things we've talked about in the past. Keep shooting me your questions. Have a good one.